Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now. You disappeared for a while, but I can hear you now. Are we ready?
That's the second time that's happened, where I'm talking away and then I get the busy signal. It's like, you know, the line's been left off the hook or something. I guess I need to call the Blog Talk people and just find out what's going on there.
Okay. This is the first time hearing you, so we're on, right?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay,
sorry.
All right.
Listeners, I don't know what happens. That's happened before too, and definitely have to get to the bottom of it.
Okay, well, I'm standing by here.
Okay, that is the lovely voice of Tiana Galgano. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes.
Okay. Tiana, I'd like to give a little background first. I don't know if you guys heard, but Crystalyn is in Arizona this week getting tests at the Mayo Clinic. So let's send a prayer to Crystalyn that she finds some answers, the answers she needs. And my dear friend Joanne Weedman and my associate in work and for the last 30-plus years of my life is sitting here beside me, and we're going to be interviewing Tiana today. The reason that this came about was because I had what Jung would call a big dream, and I was telling, and I actually had two of them, very unusual. I've never dreamed about snakes before, and I had two dreams within 2 weeks, one each week, and two different snake dreams, big snakes, too. I wasn't frightened in the dream, but I was telling Joanne about these dreams, and she said, oh, you know, my friend Tiana has written a book on dreams, and I'll bring it in and you can look at it. And
yeah, it's not just a book on dreams. It's the best system of understanding the meaning of dreams that I have ever experienced in my life. And I've studied psychology since I was in college. I've seen Jung's interpretations, Freud's. Tiana, I think yours is the best method of understanding the meaning of the symbolic language of dreams that I have ever seen anywhere.
Well, thank you. And it's simple, too. Easy to use.
That's the beauty of it. The title of Tiana's book is Decipher Your Dreams, Decipher Your Life. And it is available at Amazon.com. I've posted a link to it on the site, on the Blog Talk site, and also on Tiana's bio on our site. So please do check it out. It's wonderful. So, Tiana, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in deciphering dreams and your healing work with people?
All right. I do healing work. I do NLP. I'm an NLP master practitioner. I am an EFT specialist. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist. All that came about as a result of my dream work. I started out with dream work. We're going back into 1982-83 when I had been having a recurring dream about rats chasing me down an alley. And I had had that dream for probably 3 years, maybe once a month. And back at that time, I really didn't understand that dreams had meaning. This was just a recurring nightmare. I'd wake up in the morning out of breath, you know, scared. Oh, I had that dream again, and then I would just dismiss it. Well, I came to meet someone who turned out to be very intuitive in the way that that this person understood his own dreams. And so I asked him about my dream. I thought, oh, dreams have meaning? You know, really? And he helped me go through my dream by asking me a bunch of questions. And when I got it figured out, it was dirty rats chasing me down a dirty alley. It was about a relationship that I'd been in with a business partner who I often referred to as a dirty rat because he often did dirty rat kind of things, like taking a checkbook and spending all the money. So when I got the results of that dream, I thought, oh, that dream was telling me I needed to end that partnership. But I didn't get that message because I didn't know how to interpret the dream. So I stuck with the partnership for 3 years. Well, that intrigued me. That next week I had a dream. The same person helped me go through that one. It was a little more blatant. It was about my mother and finding her car, finding the keys to her car, and then finding her car. And when I interpreted that dream, it turned out to mean that somehow, some way, I was going to help my mother be able to drive again. And she hadn't driven in 15 years.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, my. Well, the dreams, you know, that sparked me to do serious dream research, those two dreams.
Wow. Amazing. Did your mother drive again?
Yes. It took a couple of years of therapy with the kind of therapy that I knew how to do, but yes, she did. Turned out that she had an emotional trauma that was connected to not being able to drive because she'd been in an accident and she was just plain old scared, deeply held in her subconscious. I was able to help clear that for her.
How did you learn about the process for finding how you discover where you recognize the intuition that's true, the deep source intuition?
Yeah, it came to me early on that intuition had to be the way to interpret a dream because of what I learned from this other person. Not that he knew how he did it, I could just tell that he was talking to the higher power, and the higher power was giving him, you know, what he needed to know and what I needed to know. So I set out on a research project to figure that out. How could one be better intuitive? How could one be connected to intuition? I started a dream group, and we were meeting every week. We were going through the guessing game, going through the ego, going through the guessing game, going through the conscious mind. And eventually we were getting some hits, you know, some ahas, but it took a while, and it was, you know, cumbersome and clumsy. In the meantime, I was led by my dreams to take the NLP training. And when I took the NLP training in my second year of it, they were going through how there are aspects of the subconscious and the conscious and the superconscious that speak to you. They were talking about the motivational voices, the critical voices, you know, how you have that voice inside of you that says, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that. I can never do that. You know, why try?
Right.
So because of that training, it occurred to me that maybe I could use that same methodology for discovering where the voice was with the voice of intuition. It's like a neural pathway connection.
Yeah.
And that set me on an idea, and I started to develop my process for finding intuition.
Wonderful. So this really began as like a healing journey for your, you know, based on your own needs.
Yes.
And then you, what you've learned, you've been able to help other people a great deal with it. And I know you mentioned terms like NLP and what was the other one?
EFT.
Yeah.
NLP is a short three letters that stand for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which is a mind-body connection transformational change work. It's a field of study. It's a bona fide field of study. They started training people back in the early 80s, late 70s, which is when I started with them. I took ongoing NLP trainings for 20 years. I got hooked on how beautifully it works to help a person. EFT is also called meridian tapping. It's tapping on the face, on acupressure points on the face. It's all over the internet right now. People can look that up just by looking up EFT or tapping. And there are charts available and ways to use it that are freely accessible on the internet. And www.tappinginternational.com is one way that they can find out more about it. And my profile happens to be listed on that site. EFT is wonderful for releasing emotions within 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, wonderful.
Old traumas. Yeah, old emotional scars get healed that way.
And you just need to know where to tap. I noticed I watched your video. You did a wonderful video of a session you did in Pueblo with a group it was actually a public workshop you did.
Mm-hmm.
And a particular woman was sharing her dream with you, a reoccurring dream, and you were helping her work through the meaning of the dream. And it brought up a lot of stuff for her. And so you were helping her right there on the spot to calm down and release some of the emotion via EFT. So
it worked pretty quickly, didn't it?
It was amazing. You know, that video, I highly recommend it, Tiana. That's a wonderful video. And what is your website? I'd like to post your website so people can go there. And
okay, thank you. Yes, www. And then my name, TianaGalgano.com, and that's spelled TianaGalgano. And that's it gives my credentials and everything else, so that's a way to get a hold of me. And people can also email me at TianaG@MSN.com.
Okay. At MSN, okay. Great. And do you do, will you help people remotely at times via phone and various other methods?
Yes.
Or do you like to do your work in person? Or
I work over the phone. I can work over the phone effectively. I do have clients in Florida and Arizona and places like that. I can work over the phone effectively. If it's a deep trauma, molestation issues, things like that, then I would rather at least start in person and do a couple of sessions in person, and then I can work by phone.
Right. Okay, well, we are especially interested in, and as you know, Joanne and I both read the Urantia book, have read it for years.
Right.
And it talks about the God within every person.
And
not a new concept, obviously. The Egyptians called it the Ka and the Ba. One
yes.
was the higher. The Hebrews called it the still small voice. New Agers call it the higher self. Everybody has a term, you know, not everybody, but many, many faith traditions have a term for it. The Urantia book calls it the thought adjuster because that's essentially how it functions, to adjust
yes.
your thoughts toward God or Godward, as I like to say. And so have done work where you help people get in touch with their intuitive voice, and you help them discover where the voice is and how they can learn to recognize it. And we're very much interested in that. So we wanted to, definitely talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you touched on so many other interesting things, too, in your talk, colors and what colors mean and, you know, different interpretations. So maybe we can even get some callers to call in. And I know you had told me earlier you also wanted to cover some ideas about how we might send a waking dream to Japan or even do some intentional dreaming to help heal Japan. And I think
yeah.
that would be wonderful, too. So,
yes, I'd love to do that. That's such a
okay.
need right now.
It is a need right now. So where should we start? Should we start with that? Idea about
if you don't mind, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about dreams. Kind of an intro to them. That people do have 4 to 6 dreams every night. Everybody dreams 4 to 6 dreams every single night, and that within a year you're going to have, you know, nearly 2,000 dreams. And so it's really important for the listener to understand that this is God sent. You know, dreams are from God, from the higher power, from the higher self, from the universe, or however they want to talk about it. Because in dream time, you are closer to your source than at any other time. And dreams are designed to help you undo the stresses of the day. They are there to help you heal. They are there to guide you. This is something I stress in all of my talks, that it's so important to, if you don't remember your dreams, then that's okay. It is so important to interact with them somehow. And that somehow is to ask. What I preach is, when you go to sleep at night, have something in mind. Do you need healing? Do you need guidance? You know, do you want some answers? Are you working on a project? Would you like some input from spirit? There are so many things that you can do in dream time that you can't do in waking life. And what I ask people to do is write down on a piece of paper what they want. What do they want from dream time? What do they want to do? What do they want to receive? Write it down on a piece of paper. Put it beside their bed when they go to sleep. Remember to look at the paper and ask. And then go to sleep trusting that the answer will be given, or that the guidance will be given, or that whatever they're seeking will be given. It's like Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. You have to ask. Spirit wants you to ask. They want you to ask. So when you wake up in the morning, you may not remember a dream, and that's okay. Because during the day, what will happen is you'll be showering or washing the dishes, and an insight or an intuition will pop in, or somebody will call you, or you'll be led to the right book. You will be led to the answer, even if you don't remember your dreams.
You know, you made that in your video as well, and I just love that, because, you know, how many times do we say, you know, to somebody, let me sleep on it?
Yeah.
So by our own admission, we are admitting that if we give it to God and we sleep on it, we'll have a clearer answer or a clearer head on this matter in the morning. And I think you're absolutely right. When you give it to God, let's just look at it this way, too. When you go to sleep at night, you are completely surrendering your consciousness. Just going to sleep at night is an act of faith, because you're unconscious. And you don't know for sure you'll wake up. You know, remember the childhood prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And so it is an act of faith. But you are surrendering to your God, the God within you, and you're giving your soul to his keeping. And so
at the same time, you know, if you're asking for something in return, you will get it. You will get it. You know, Joanne will tell you that she was in my dream group for a year. When you ask, you get it. Right?
Yeah, you know, Jesus didn't say ask and you may be answered. He said ask and you will be answered.
You will. Yes, exactly. So that's what I preach about dreams. They're there for a lot of good reasons, and you can use that dream time to your advantage, even if you don't remember them. And if you want to remember them, my book has some really good hints for how to do that. Okay, so now we can move on. So do you want to talk about the intuition right now?
Oh, sure, yeah. Because that's really key, isn't it, to deciphering your dreams, is learning to listen to your intuition.
Right. So for those people that are remembering dreams, for those people that remember them rarely, but there's those few that stick out that you'll never forget, that stand out, or for those people who are keeping a dream journal, my method is a way to understand every dream you've ever had, even if you had it when you were a child. My video proves that. So in order to understand those dreams, there is a process that I have invented. It's called Dream Decipher. And Dream Decipher, it's got an interesting thing that I put in there that is different from every other dream method on the planet. Everybody else that interprets dreams goes through the conscious mind. It's a two-step process for most people who are not using my process. They ponder the dream, and then they try to figure it out. It's a guessing game. My process is, pardon?
They just guess at the meaning.
And they may be right, you know, they may be right, or they may be way off base. as an example, people that usually dream about snakes just get scared to death. They're not going to try and look into that to see if there's deeper meaning, which we can, you know, discuss later. But, okay, my process starts out with you write down the dream in a narrow column. It forces you to record that dream in very short phrases. And then the middle part of the process is that you go to your intuition and you have your voice of intuition then tell you what each phrase of that dream means. I call that mini metaphors. It goes beyond just a single symbol because you're saying three or four words instead of just one word. And you're asking your higher power, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? And what does that mean? And the intuitive voice then gives you the meaning. And then in the third column, you can interpret the dream based on the second column, because now you've got the meaning of your dream in plain English, and then you can flesh out the interpretation in the third column. So intuition is vital. It's an intertwined process with my dream decipher interpretation process. It's vital. And what I have to say about intuition is this. Everybody has it. Everybody's born with it. It's another gift from the higher power. You have to have that ongoing guidance system. You know, spirit, universe, God, higher self isn't going to throw you on the earth and let you flounder. You are born with this guidance system, and it's wired into your neural pathways. So what I've discovered through the research that I did was that your eyes are the key to discovering how to figure out where this voice is, and then how to interact with intuition. So I can go ahead and do an exercise. So if people that want to know where their voice and feeling of intuition is, if they'd go get a pencil or paper, pen and paper right now while I'm continuing to explain this, then we can do the exercise and they'll be ready.
Right.
So intuition is a system. It's something you see, something you hear, and something you feel, and it happens so quickly, it's almost like all at the same time. Some people are more familiar with the feeling of intuition. They're more highly kinesthetic with their intuition. Those people will say, I had a feeling, it felt right, something like that. There are some members of the population who are more visual with their intuition. They get the visions. And they'll say, well, I just saw that, and I knew that was going to happen. Some people, the other third, are auditory. In other words, that small little voice that you talked about earlier. Some people actually do hear a voice. I like to say, if you remember Tom Selleck in Magnum P.I., he always talked about that little voice that was, you know, giving him guidance. So the truth of it is that even if you are primarily kinesthetic or primarily auditory or primarily visual, you do get intuitions in all three of those systems. So what I like people to do is get more acquainted, more strongly familiar with the voice of intuition, because that is quick, and it's you get the information in plain English, unless, of course, you're a foreigner. In some other country, you're going to get it in your own language, but you're going to get it in plain English. And then it's something that you can follow, and the feeling of intuition, which is located in the body somewhere, gives you that convincer. What I heard felt right. What I heard felt right. Or that thought that
it's
was
like
running through my head.
Joanne and I have a good friend, Mo Siegel, and he founded Celestial Seasonings Tea Company.
And he is a big intuitive,
very intuitive man, and he will always tell you, I've learned to follow my gut. If I don't follow my gut, I live to regret it. He's told me that many times. My gut is telling me, no, don't do that. And if I don't follow that, I'll regret it. And, you know, I always take that to heart when he says that. I learned to follow my gut. And you hear that a lot,
what he's
too.
He's telling you is that he's primarily kinesthetic. Not everybody is primarily kinesthetic. People that are primarily kinesthetic will talk about the gut feeling. So the exercise that I will do, it takes maybe 5 minutes or maybe a little more, but at some point here, whenever you're ready, I can go ahead and do that, and then all of the listeners will be able to discover where they hear their voice of intuition and where in their body they feel it. So whenever you think,
okay.
Would you like me to go ahead and do that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so for those that are ready and want to do this, this is what you have to remember here now, is that the posture for intuition is your spine is straight and your shoulders are back and your chin is level. If you're sitting, that'll be easy, okay? If you're standing, you could try this when you're standing, and that's okay. Just don't look at the floor, all right? Shoulders back, spine straight, chin level, eyes level. That's the first thing you've got to do. That's the posture of intuition. So when you want to be intuitive, when you want to be intuitive and ask a question and get an answer, remember not to be slumped over. And this is important because people who are depressed or feeling sad or feeling bad will tend to be slumped over. And then they're trying to get an answer from spirit or the higher power. They're wanting guidance. They're wanting an answer, and then they can't get it because they're slumped over. It's almost like there's a switch in your neck that shuts off when you're looking down. So you want to be looking straight ahead. Now, we're going to start with an intuition that you had. So I want you to think about an intuition that you had to use for this exercise. The intuition is something that could have happened years ago, but is still strong. Oh, I saw that woman and I knew she was the one I was going to marry. Or I passed by that house, it had a for sale sign, and I just had the strongest feeling that that was the house for me, and it turned out to be. Things like that that happened years ago, we can still use those today. You have subtle intuitions all the time. You have them every day. You can use something you had yesterday. If you got an email or something that alerted you to this particular show and you got a feeling or a little thought in your head that said, yeah, maybe I should listen to that, you could use that intuition. So the first thing you need is a specific intuition. Okay? Everybody got one? You got one, Paula?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now I need to do a little more explaining. First, we're going to go after where the feeling is, because that's a little bit easier to find. The feeling of location, and I don't want you to look for it yet. I'm just going to explain, and then we're going to do this. The feeling of location, I mean the feeling of intuition, is located somewhere in the body, usually somewhere between the throat and the gut. People that talk about gut feelings, that's usually just something one says. It's not always there. As a matter of fact, it's rarely there. It's usually higher up. The feeling of intuition can be found in one of these places, one. Yours will be one, but I'm going to tell you all of them. Just below the throat, mid-chest, above the heart, or the heart area, or on one side of the chest or the other above the nipple areas. Sometimes a band across the upper chest. Other places are just above the stomach or the stomach or the gut. So those are all the places that intuition can be found. Yours will be one of them. So I want you to close your eyes, get your posture straight, and then think about that intuition. What was it telling you? If it was a feeling, what did the feeling say? The exact specific statement. I just knew that that was the girl for me. I just knew that was the right house. You know, things like that. So have that statement repeated over and over in your mind. Over and over in your mind. You're back in the moment of time now when you had that intuition. Where were you? At home? Your office? In school? You're back in the moment of time. you're hearing that intuitive statement, and you're feeling that this is right. Yeah, that's right. That feels right. So I want you to scan, and where in your body does it feel right? It'll be like a little energy ball. I'm going to give you a few moments to find that. Keep hearing the statement repeated. Hear it again. And it feels right. Wow, and you can even take your hand and put it right there on your body where that feeling of rightness is strongest. So, Paula, did you find yours?
Yeah.
And where was yours?
It's definitely in my heart area.
Your heart area?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a common area, and it's not everybody's area. Mine happens to be over on the left side of my rib cage, just above my breast. So mine's in a different place. Everybody's is in a slightly different place, although some people will have similarities. So for those of you that have pen and paper, write that down, where you felt intuition. This will serve you well in the future. Okay, now we're going to go after the voice and find out where that is. Now, here's where you really need to pay attention very patiently, okay? Because some people's intuitive voice is so subtle, it's like a silent little thought in your mind. So you really have to catch it, you know? That's why we want to keep on repeating that statement, making it louder. I want you to pretend that your eyes are like satellite dishes, that they can go in any direction. And now I'm going to tell you all of the places where your intuitive voice is heard. In other words, where you receive spiritual broadcast. There's one specific location. For some people, it's out in space around their head. The intuitive voice is almost always somewhere around the head or inside the head, around the head. So you're going to look in the head area. Some people hear it out in space. Again, I'm just going to go through all the places, and then we're going to do the exercise, and then you'll find yours. It can be in one of these places outside the head, about 6 inches outside one ear or the other. Sometimes both, like stereo. It can be out in front of you. It can be behind you or up and over to the side. Sometimes it can be up to about a foot away. I'm finding that those people that get that receivership a foot away, that voice tends to be a moving voice and will move towards you in some way and then go inside your skull. Okay, that's the outside voice. There can be a voice that you hear on the surface of your skull or just inside your head. So those places would be just inside one ear or the other or both. At one of the temples, at the middle of the forehead, for what some people call the third eye area, or the back of the head, or the top of the head. Those are the common places of the skull area. Now, the third place, for some people, they will find it inside their head. For those that have it inside their head, the most common location is smack dab in the middle of your brain. However, some people do hear it stronger on one side, one lobe, or the other. Okay, that's a lot of different places. So what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to close your eyes in a moment, and then you're going to use your eyes like satellite dishes. You're going to hear that statement over and over again, that same statement you use to feel intuition. You're going to keep repeating it over and over, hear it repeated over and over, make it louder and louder. Start checking outside your head. If not there, check the surface of your head or your skull. If not there, then lastly, look inside. Okay, ready? All right, here we go. Close your eyes. Get in the posture of intuition. Spine straight, shoulders back, chin level. And now you're back in the moment of time when you received that intuition. You're back in that moment of time. And now you're hearing it. It's repeated and repeating it over and over. Your voices are, your eyes are like satellite dishes scanning around. Where do you hear it the strongest? I'm going to give you a few moments. I'm going to shut up now. All right, Paula, have you found yours yet?
Yeah, you know, it's a little hard for me to pinpoint because it feels like it's coming in from everywhere almost. But I can definitely sense from both ears and from the center of my, on the top of my head.
Okay.
So, like, then right down to my heart. You know, that's the way it feels.
You are strongly connected, girl. Strongly connected. So you've been practicing this for a long time. Now, the beauty of this, and for those of you that did not find it yet, you know you can do this again after the broadcast. You can go ahead and do it again. For those of you that did find it and kind of thought they knew where the location was, go ahead and indicate that on your paper. And I'll talk a little bit about how you can use this in a moment. But the beauty of this is that once you know specifically where that voice comes in at, then you go to the science, what I call the science of intuition. This is your own neural pathway connection. And in NLP, they teach us that the eyes are the key to getting that pure, purest communication. When you want to be intuitive, you're going to want to look at the place where you receive it. Now, Paula, yours may be a little bit different because you guys seem to have two locations, top of the head and then both ears. So you can check both places, and I guess we're going to go over one of your dreams a little bit later. So you can try both and see, you know, which works the best for you to receive that voice. For those of you that are listening to the call, well, I'll tell you what, this is beautiful to know where that voice comes in and where the feeling is, because now you know how to trust intuitive guidance. It's like, what about that particular tone of that voice felt right? What about it gave you that feeling of trust? Some people call it, well, it sounded like a benevolent authority. Paula, for you, what makes that voice feel trustworthy?
Yeah, it's what makes it feel trustworthy is I validate it. My heart validates it. In other
words, your heart validates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Rancher book has a term for this. It calls it your reality response, and it's like an inner validation. And in, you know it's true because you know it's true. You know, it's just your ability. Every human has this ability to validate truth, and you just know it. Yeah, I mean it's a heart response. Go ahead, Joanne.
I call it a spiritual hug. It's like a feeling of being loved that goes with it.
The feeling of love that goes with it. Very good. And Joanne, where are your locations? Are they different from Paula's?
Well, I can feel it. It's like the whole front right side of my brain,
okay.
The crown and my right ear, just right outside my right ear. It feels like an energy pulse in all those places.
Okay, so hers is her right ear. And interestingly enough, my voice comes in, gosh, if I take my hand and put it, you know, and stretch out my arm, my right arm way behind me, past my peripheral vision, mine starts way out there, but then flows in toward my right ear. And it's a moving flowing energy. So everybody's is different. And here's how your listening audience can use this, not only for dream interpretation, but in everyday life. It's like I was on the highway one day, and while I know better, because I already knew where my voice was, I was on my way to catch a plane. I was in a hurry. I was driving too fast. Yes, I'll admit that. And the voices just shouted at me, get off the highway. You know, get off at the next exit. And I'm like arguing with it. I'm like, I know it felt right that I should. I knew it was my voice, but I'm silently arguing with it. I'm like, well, I'm late for my plane. I mean, I got to get off this highway. Why? And what I did was, as I'm arguing with the voice, I'm slowing down because now I'm thinking, should I get off? No, I don't want to get off. It will segue me off into a neighborhood, and then I'll be, you know, I won't be able to get back on right away. I was really confused about everything, and what that made me do was slow way down. And I had a lot of traffic behind me, which also had to slow way down. I drove over the crest of that hill and came upon a truck, a huge truck, jackknifed across all of the highway, all of it. There was no getting around that truck. If I had been going the same speed I had been going before the voice said to me, get off this highway, if I had kept that speed up, I would have probably gotten involved in that accident.
Wow.
So, okay, makes a great story. What if I had gotten off? I would have never known why. However, you know, now I don't argue with it anymore. If a voice is going to tell me, get off the highway, believe me, I'm going to do it.
So
that's just one way that intuition is useful, is to warn you when you're in danger. But then there's the everyday intuition. When you want some guidance, you can sit in a meditative state. You have to look at your voice, where you receive your voice, with your eyes. You have to look at it. That's the key. That's the neural pathway connection. And you can ask questions of spirit, and you can get answers. Conversationally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I find this process so vital, is because so many times in my life I've gotten intuition and then I kind of discount it and try to outthink it. And if I know where it's coming from, then I trust it. I don't think that, oh, maybe that's my subconscious telling me that instead of my spiritual guidance.
Mm-hmm.
I know where it feels right. And Tiana, don't you think that people spend sometimes a lifetime learning how to trust their own instincts and their own intuition and the inner voice? And
that
is like my friend Mo used to say, I almost always regret it. Well, you know, I have found that, you know, I do always regret going against my inner guidance, you know. So,
well, the beauty of this, like Joanne was saying, the beauty of my system is that once you have it, then you know when it's an intuition. You know when that intuitive voice, you know when God is speaking to you, you know when your higher self is speaking to you, you know, because you become acquainted with it. Now, you may not have a familiarity with it right off the bat. I suggest doing some practice. You know, notice when you get an intuition, what happens when you follow it, what happens when you don't. So you can build trust in this more firmly over time.
Right. Hey, Tiana, we have a caller. Would you be willing to take a call?
I sure will. And let me give this caveat, okay? If the caller is asking me to interpret a dream, I do not do that. I don't want to do that because I would rather have people have a fishing pole than a fish. So when people present dreams to me, what I like to do is make sure they know where their intuitive voice is, and then lead them by asking some questions into finding their own answers. So I don't want people asking me, well, I had this dream, what does it mean? Okay?
Okay.
All right, so what does the caller want to say?
Let's see. Caller, you're on Blog Talk Radio with Tiana Galgano.
Hello?
Area code 719? Hello?
Yes, hello? I'm not hearing anything, Paula. This is
Paula,
Tiana.
Are you there? Okay.
maybe this caller's just listening, so.
Okay.
It's obviously in your area code, Tiana, so it may be somebody who just wanted to call in and listen. And,
and by the way, for callers in my area code, I am doing a dream workshop tomorrow in Pueblo. So you can email me at my at TianaG@MSN.com for more information about that.
Great. Okay, so, now I think you touched on a very good point right there before we tried to take the call, and that was that you really want to help people interpret their own dreams, and this is something that you say over and over again in different ways. You tell us that each one of us is different, and we hear our intuitive voice in a different way. We understand metaphors in a different way. And so that's why it's so important for each of us to interpret our own understanding of what's happening or the insights we're getting and not try to necessarily interpret someone else's. You can maybe help them find their own answer, but you don't want to interpret it for them. And I think that's very important.
Yes, it is very
important. And I'm glad you do that. It's wonderful because what I have found is when my higher power, my inner voice, speaks to me, and I know that voice as the fragment of my infinite heavenly Father, based on the teachings in the Urantia book that I believe, and that fragment of God is reaching me with metaphors that I understand. And so what he does is he'll draw from my own life experiences. And I can give you an example. One time I was praying very hard about an answer for an answer to something, and he showed me a very high-spirited horse who was in a various stage of being broken to be a riding horse. Now, he knew I had a lot of experience with breaking horses. And he knows me.
Speaking your language.
He's using my language. By that one image, he showed me an image, and this is very often what I get, and I was very interested in your differentiation between visual people and kinesthetic people, and what would be the other one?
Auditory, right.
Because I often get a vision, and the vision speaks to me volumes, because most visions just are rich with metaphor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what I noticed was, and it was a great lesson for me, he drew from my life experience, and because he did that, the metaphor that I got was very meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
let me say this about that. There's a chapter in my book, it's called Making Sense of Dream Symbolism, and what I have to say about that is that the subconscious mind, which is part of who we are, the language of the subconscious mind is symbolism and metaphor. So this is something that we've come along with since ancient times. And in ancient times, there was no form of writing per se. People used what was coming from God and their subconscious, the picture writing, hieroglyphics, petroglyphs, pictographs, cuneiform, things like that. They were actually, in the old days, in ancient times, speaking in the language of the subconscious. Now, we've gotten away from that in this modern culture. We don't even understand that language of symbolism and metaphor anymore. And so what I have to say is you're talking about the higher power talking to you in that way. I have also found that there are dreams that come from deep within the subconscious, and yes, the higher power definitely has something to do with that. I'm not saying it doesn't, but the subconscious can also send us these dreams. However, a lot of times those are the nightmares. Now, okay, nightmares. Boy, people are really freaked out by nightmares. They wake up and they're like, you know, out of breath and scared, and then they think, what could that mean? And they're so scared of it. Some people dreaming of a snake coming after them would be horrified. Well, again, it's like, what does a snake mean to you? We're getting back around to your dreams, Paula. What snakes mean to people are various things. and like you said, personal meaning. So a person that would be frightened to death of a snake, that dream that that person had, especially if it was a nightmare, would be very different from the person who has the spiritual understanding of snakes, the caduceus that is twined around the medical symbol, for example, or the other imagery for snakes that means healing. So snakes have a diverse bunch of meanings depending on what you think of them. So a person that's horribly afraid of snakes and dreams about a snake and wakes up frightened, the subconscious is not trying to tell you, yeah, you're afraid of snakes, or you might encounter one. The subconscious is not doing that. What the subconscious is doing is what I call the substitution phenomenon. What the subconscious does, and what God also does, it, unless it's a very sacred dream, which can be literal, if it is steeped in symbolism, then a lot of times, like your horse, substitution phenomenon means I'm going to substitute this symbol for something else, a feeling, another person, something like that. And then it's like up to you to figure out from your personal file of symbols, like you said, you broke horses, so that was very familiar to you. So the subconscious with snakes, for example, I had one lady who had been bitten by a snake on her left side in a dream. And she was a demonstration person that I did at a workshop. Came up and I did the dream with her in front of everybody. Turned out that this dream was about a relationship that she'd had that she still felt very fearful and upset about, although the relationship was no longer in her life. It also was telling her that a certain illness that was manifesting itself on her left side had to do with her emotional pain about this relationship and how it ended. So the snake dream was giving her two messages. One, your pain is related to this guy. And two, your emotions about this guy are causing this pain. That was her snake dream.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I know. Very brief dream. Had a lot to give her when she deciphered it with my help.
Well,
so you've had some snake dreams, right, Paula?
Well, I had two. Uh-huh. I had one, and then a week later I had another one.
And were you?
And I have had prophetic dreams, and so I pay attention to dreams, especially. And I'll just preface to say I don't remember my dreams most often.
Mm-hmm.
Most often, I'm working in my dreams. Work all night, my dreams, you know. I wake up and I was here and there and everywhere and taking care of business, and I just know that. I mean, that's mostly my dream life is about that. And I think that it is a way to process what you said earlier, to process the day. The unconscious is processing everything that went on, kind of rewinding it, taking what it can out of that day's events. But every once in a while, I will have what Jung would have called a big dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a big dream because it is very rich in metaphors, and there's a lot of meaning there for me.
Highly vivid.
It's highly vivid and very rich in terms of
okay.
what, you know, the substance of it. And I know that there's metaphors there for me. So the first dream I had, and I'll just tell you, I used your dream to cipher. Now, I only got one third of it done. I didn't do the intuitions and insights. But it was a beautiful day. There was a big pit right in front of me, and the pit was full of construction materials. It was like refuse, let's say, big pieces of board and construction materials. I noticed that behind me, a group of children were playing nearby. I looked in the pit, and two gigantic snakes crawled out from under the debris.
and they were like anaconda snakes. They were very, very big. I was aware of the danger to the children playing nearby. So I told a big man who was standing near me, I pointed them out, and I made him aware of the danger to the children.
Okay.
He jumped in the pit and stomped on their heads.
Okay.
And then I woke up.
Okay. Do you know what this dream was telling you or what it was about yet?
Well, I get some of it. You know.
Okay, you did some of it. All right. What we can do is what I call decipher in the air. This is something I recommend for people who are just waking up and don't want to forget the dream, okay? So a little bit of decipher in the air instead of writing it all down and going over it on the worksheet. So it's very important that you keep your eyes riveted on where you hear that voice. So now you can try, you know, the ears. Can you look at both ears at once? Well, if you close your eyes and put your hands on both ears, that's what I recommend, taking your fingertips. Close your eyes. Can you kind of see both ears at once?
Yeah,
you sure can. So when you touch the place where you hear intuition, that helps you to focus on it. So I am going to write down what you say, so, or Joanne can. You don't have to try and open your eyes and try to write anything down, okay? Just be real relaxed with this. This is where having a facilitator comes in handy, all right? So what does it mean to see a big pit? The pit itself means what?
Oh.
Just real quick, just look at your ears, and the first thing that comes in, don't think.
Danger.
Danger? Okay.
Yeah.
And construction materials mean what?
And garbage.
Okay. A group of children mean what?
What I'm responsible for.
Okay. Then you see two snakes in the pit. So two snakes that are big, like anacondas, two huge snakes mean what?
Hidden danger.
Okay. All right. And then fearful about the children, that they're in danger. This is a feeling, okay? So you're going to get a feeling word back. But danger to children means what?
Protection. I need
protection.
To protect
them. Oh, yeah, okay. The big man that's near you. Who does that represent?
My helper.
Yeah, your helper, your dream helper, your inner helper.
Yeah, my spirit helper.
Okay, spirit helper. And then you make him aware of the danger to the children. So you tell him. What does that mean?
I'm asking for his help.
Asking for help. Mm-hmm. Yes, right in the dream, you knew what to do. So he jumps in the pit and stomps on their heads, means what?
He takes care of it for me.
He takes care of it for me. Okay, all right. Now, the next step is to take these words that Spirit gave you, and I have more to say about the man, so I'm going to asterisk that because that's so important. Okay, I'm going to read these words that you just told me, all right? Now, when did you have this dream, first of all? Is it a while back?
It was about 2 months ago.
Oh, so it's recent. Okay, great.
Yes.
Far out. So here's the question I ask now, and it usually goes like this. What does this have to do with your life right now? Well, what does this have to do with your life 2 months ago? We were just holding that in mind. I'm going to read these words. This is how my process works. I'm going to read them slowly. I do not want you to answer out loud. I want you to keep your eyes riveted on your voice, okay? And as I read these words, you're going to get an aha somewhere. And when I'm done, I will ask you again, what does this have to do with your life 2 months ago? All right, ready? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Danger. Garbage. What I'm responsible for. Hidden danger. Protection. My spirit helper. Asking for help. He takes care of it. Did you get a hit yet?
Yeah, it's very clear.
Okay, now, this could be private, all right? Just like I told Trish on the video, if this is private, you don't have to share what I call your main theme or the main subject matter of the dream. You don't have to share that. However, I can go back over the dream with you and get you some details. You don't have to say anything except, yeah, okay, I understand. So is this something that you can share or is this private?
Well, it's a little private, but I will say it's very obvious to me. It's about personal concerns and threats that come from a hidden source, a source that's not seen. And I think that the aha is that I can give it to the helper and that he's going to take care of it for me. I don't need to worry about it.
Okay, so do you know, and you don't have to say what it is, but do you know what that hidden source or who that hidden source is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You're pretty sure. Okay, so was this something that you were thinking about that day? Were you concerned about, or did this dream come as a warning to you that there was a problem and that it could be taken care of? Something you knew or something you didn't know?
Something that I didn't know, actually. Yeah, I didn't suspect.
Interesting. So spirit not only was helping you in the dream, it gave you what I call a warning. It's a warning dream that there's something afoot. Okay? All right. So now with hindsight, danger and hidden danger, two big anacondas. Let me ask you this, Paula. If you encountered two big anacondas in life that were close to you, that were threatening children, would you be scared?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So this would be
an element of fear. All right. So this danger and this hidden danger might be something to be, very aware of.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you've got the word garbage. What does garbage have to do with this personal concern and this threat?
Maybe that it's maybe the value of it. Garbage has to do, for me, it has to do with the value of it. It's old and it's stuff you got to throw out and it's not worth really worrying about, maybe.
Okay. All right. And then do you know what it means about being responsible for something? Okay. And you don't have to say, but it's something you're responsible for here. Do you know what that is?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you got that, but you don't need to say. All right. And then you're trying to protect, because you got protection here. You're trying to protect the children. Well, the children are just stand-in substitutes. Can you see that now for what you're responsible for? So you are trying to be protective of what you're responsible for. Okay?
Right.
And the way to be protective, the dream just tells you, here's the helper. Ask him to help. He'll take care of it. Interesting. As much as we would not want to hurt another soul, another being, another animal, interesting that your dream helper, who is, by the way, a form of God, stomps on the heads of those snakes. But again, that's just metaphor. It just means whatever the problem is, whatever the danger was, he took care of it. That's all that means. It doesn't mean he killed something. It just means he put a stop to the danger for you.
Right. He had power over. He clearly had power over.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Is this situation resolved?
Tenuously, yeah. Yeah, I would say it is. I would say that situation was triumphed over, yes.
With the help of spirit?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So you gave it up to God and God helped you out. All right. Now, here's a little interjection I want to make. The dream helper. People think that their spirit helper, their dream helper, you know, or God is going to come into their dream in a white robe and a halo or the angel with the wings. Rarely. Dream helpers, spirit helpers, God coming into your dreams. I've had a construction guy with a hard hat. It's they take the form of what is needed at the moment to help you out. So when there is a dream helper, you can kind of get a feeling in the dream that this is a personality, a being, an essence that's here to help you. And to have that presence of mind to know this is a helper, to have that presence of mind to turn to that helper and say, please take care of it. Wow, beautiful. I mean, I've had, you know, call 911, call the police, and in that case, it's the dream helpers. It depends on what the person who's in the dream, it depends on what they're going to call on. That's how spirit will come to you. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Tiana, I've kind of felt over time that there are some dreams that are like taking out the trash. They're just ordinary stuff that when your conscious mind is resting, the other parts of you can just process and get rid of. But there are some dreams that are extremely meaningful and important, in that by understanding them, we can be more spiritual and more presence of God in the world. And I think, you know, people would probably like to know, how can we tell the difference between those ones that are just emptying the garbage and the ones that are spirit speaking to us?
Is this Joanne asking me?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Joanne. All right. Let me just say this and then let me ask you a question. I have never encountered a dream that was just emptying the garbage. Never.
Really?
In 30 years of doing this, there has never been a dream that was just that. Every dream has some kind of insight, some kind of advice, some kind of guidance. Even in a dream that seems to be emptying the stresses of the day, when it's deciphered, spirit comes in and says, and here's how you can, you know, handle this. Here's a way for you to be able to not, you know, stress yourself out about this. Always, always, always. Now, you were in my dream group for a year, and you were observant of every dream that everybody brought in. Was there ever one that was meaningless or empty in the garbage?
No, but I figured people were bringing in the dreams that they most wanted to understand, you know. Like,
sometimes just brought in one that they had because they didn't have another one to bring in. No, there's no meaningless dreams. None. They all have meaning. There's different layers and levels of meaning. Some are very light level. I talk about that in chapter 19 of my book, where some dreams are like the pools or the ponds where you can see, and you can see the pebbles at the bottom. So some dreams are light level like that, where the meaning is clear and it's, you know, it's not very deep. And then some dreams are like lakes, and some are like oceans where you have the deepest shadow dreams can come out of the ocean type of dream. Every dream has meaning. It's just different types of meaning, different layers and levels of meaning. So how do you tell the difference? Well, you know what? I decipher every dream that I have. And if I get to the point where it's like, oh, this is something that, you know, that I don't really have to go very deeply into, I got the message, I would just make a note at the bottom of the page without even putting it through the process fully. Oh, okay, this is what that's about. I got it. There are other dreams that I really will spend a lot of time with because I know that they're very profound and they can give me messages. As a matter of fact, I go on dream journeys. I go on 30, what I call 30-day or 30-night dream journeys where I'll put together a journal. Sometimes I even do this on a computer. I just put out a 3-column table on the computer and type in my dream in the first column and my intuitions in the second and my insights in the third. And I will go on a dream journey and a personal project. For example, I had fractured a hip a couple years back. I had fallen off a ladder, fractured a hip. Okay, very physical situation, but it wouldn't heal. I couldn't get it to heal. I mean, here it was, you know, a year or two down the road, and it was still acting up. And wouldn't totally heal. I was seeing other healers. I was going to chiropractors. I was going to acupuncturists and, you know, la, la. And it wouldn't heal. So I went on a dream journey. I think I actually spent 3 months on this one. I got some very, very deep information from my dreams that were, there was a couple of different things that were involved. It seems like when there's a weak area of the body, then more than one thing can, you know, piggyback onto that weak area. So I actually had a couple of different things that were involved with that hip not wanting to heal. And one of them was, interestingly enough, was that I had been helping to take care of my mom, and she was dying and being very belligerent about it, and I was helping to hospice her, but she said something very mean to me one day, hurt my feelings, and I stomped up the stairs very angry, and I was trying to paint a bedroom upstairs. I fell off the ladder. So when I fell off that ladder, I was in an emotional state. Believe me, when I tell you, that was still stuck in that hip 2 years later, okay, that I hadn't forgiven her, that I was still holding on to that pain. My dreams went deep for me and helped me find that. And then there was also a component where another aspect of my subconscious said, hey, you know, you need to get another book out there. Why are you dragging your feet? And so, okay. So I began working on that book. So the hip was telling me, see, you're stuck. And the pain's gone away. So there you go. That's my journey.
So that's very intentional. I think that you know, again, that's where the beauty is when you give something to your higher power with intention and with trust and with faith.
Yeah.
And you give them that at night. Kristalyn has had and Kristalyn is hosts this show with me on a regular basis, and she has found a technique of telling God before she goes to sleep, especially if she has a problem, and she'll say, this is the issue that I'm having, and here are some metaphors that would really work for me if you use these to give me an answer.
Oh, that's cool.
And she actually gives God permission to utilize those metaphors to answer her question in the dream. And you know, she gets an insight. And I think it's important to point out, because a lot of people can feel like, and I know this is not you, Tiana, that you don't feel this way, but a lot of people, especially scientific people, feel like looking at your dreams is just superstitious nonsense. And, you know, why would we do that? Why would we put any credence on something like that?
Let me go back to how many we have, Paula. You know, how many we have? 4 to 6 a night, 2,000 a year, 50,000 by the time you're, you know, how old? Why would something that comes so frequently, how could that be unimportant? You know, how could it be? So, you know, science has proven that we do dream and how much we dream, but science, in a lot of cases, is separated from the higher power. They're trying to find concrete evidence for how things work. And the higher power, spirit, the dream landscape, I mean, you have to get into quantum physics before you get a scientist that will give you credence about such things.
Well, and I think what I like so much about, you know, my own daughter has had a very prolific dream life in terms of she remembers everything. She has a memory that just is astonishing to me about her life experiences. She remembers very minute details about her life and her experiences. But when she dreams, she also has very vivid and detailed dreams. Mm. And she has had some really horrific nightmares.
Uh-huh. Those are gifts. The nightmare
and,
is a gift. Can I impress
well, you know, what
you
I love
in the audience?
Your
technique, can I say that?
It is a gift. I hear you. And I think, you know, I've had to help her get to this place where it doesn't have such an effect on her waking life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
can I just give you an example? I have a client I'm working with who's got a very horrible pain going on. And this pain, the doctors have written her off. They've given her all kinds of prescription pain meds now because there's nothing they can do for her. They've tried. They've failed. She's been in this pain, horrible pain. It's like a fibromyalgia, but it's localized for 2 years. So I happen to have, you know, seen her at a certain place that I socialize, and I told her, I said, first I said to her, how can I help you? And I kept saying that to her, how can I help you? And finally she said to me, well, you know, I've had all these doctors, and I said, yeah, how can I help you? And finally she said to me, well, how can you help me? So she started coming to me as a client. And after her, I think her third session, she got my book and is, you know, doing the intuition mastery thing with me. She brought in two dreams that she had the same week. And in one dream, she sees a man who has a machine gun, and he is shooting down these airplanes that are flying overhead and shooting them down, and they crash and burn down into this lake. That's one dream. When we interpreted that dream, when I facilitated her, this was about her relationship with her husband, who, by the way, is a wonderful guy. This is a horrible nightmare, somebody shooting down these planes. Her husband's a wonderful guy. He just doesn't understand her. He doesn't understand that when she wants to do a certain thing with her kids or her grandkids, that's joyous for her and helps take the pain away. He thinks that her kids are using her, and so he insists that she shouldn't even be going to see them. So, in effect, he's shooting down her freedom. Get that? He's shooting down her freedom. One of the outcomes of this dream was is that part of her stress and part of what's keeping the pain is that she is stressed out because her husband doesn't understand her. So that's one dream. Another dream she had, I happen to be in it. I do something I call shamanic dreaming, in which I do go and ask to be in the dream of someone else to help them out in some way. And so she had a dream in which I appeared, and there was a little girl standing there in a pool of water, and the girl was about 5, the pool of water became a tsunami. It swept the little girl out into the ocean. She is the client, deathly afraid of water, so she just was horrified at this child being swept away. I, she said, dove in after the kid into this wave. And she, standing there, thought that she maybe needed to do something too, but she wasn't going to go in the water, so she stuck out her leg. And her leg became really, really, really long. And the little girl, I don't know if with my help or what, but the little girl found her foot, grabbed onto the foot, and she was able to retract her leg back to normal size and pull that little kid out of the ocean and rescue it. And at the end, she said, I felt like a heroine. So what that dream is telling her and me is that the inner work we are doing together, which includes working with her inner child who had some bad things happen to her, she, in effect, through our therapy work, is helping to heal herself.
Mm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So the nightmare was telling her, this is part of what's causing your stress. This is how you feel inside. You feel this horrible about that situation. That's what a nightmare is. It's a gift. It's telling you about the feelings that you are repressing or suppressing. It's telling you about memories you may have deeply hidden away that are still causing you problems. Nightmares are beautiful because when you get them deciphered, they give you all this information about what you need to get on your healing path. I love them. I love nightmares. When I have one, I rejoice. Answers are coming!
The next time my daughter has a nightmare, I'm going to have her call you.
Yes, of course.
Well, actually, what I can do is show her this dream decipher that you teach and help her. She can't decipher the meaning of her nightmare. I did buy her a dream interpretation book. And the woman that wrote this book, and I can't remember, she was very good. I bought her this years ago because when she was younger, she had her nightmares were much more, this is my oldest daughter, she's in her mid-30s now. Her nightmares were much more vivid. As she has gotten older and matured, she had a hard childhood. Her father was killed in a car accident when she was seven.
Oh, yes.
There was a lot of issues around him that were unresolved.
Yes.
A lot of childhood dreams.
Just let me say this about that. The childhood dreams, for those audience members who have children who are having nightmares, what this means is that there are fears held within, deep within, or within that child. They are fears. So what is the child afraid of? In your case, you knew what these fears were around. But for the person who has a child who's having nightmares, you know, really talk to that child. What's going on? There can be mean teachers. There can be mean bullies that can cause recurring dreams and nightmares in childhood. There can be the birth of a new baby where the older child feels displaced and is afraid they're not loved anymore. There can be parents that are fighting and not realizing how they're impacting this child, because a child will blame themselves for problems in the home. They will blame themselves if a parent has to leave. And that's what usually causes children's nightmares, is some deep unresolved fears. So go on. I just wanted to put that in there.
Well, and you hit the nail right on the head. And this book that I bought her had archetypical. She gave you archetypical, translations.
She was a Jungian analyst.
Yeah, in a way, yes.
Yeah, and that's valid, by the way.
What?
That is valid.
Yeah. It really did help. Because she started to think about her dreams more objectively, see? In her dreams before, she was subjective in the dream. You know, she felt like a victim in the dream.
Right.
But after I got her the dream interpretation book and she started to read what various things might mean archetypically, she became more subjective in the
dream.
Very good. And she started to get insights. From the dream. And I'll give you just a good example. I pray that you will forgive me for sharing this on the air.
Okay, but it's okay to say.
It's such a beautiful example. She had a recurring nightmare. And in the nightmare, she was in a hotel. And the hotel was just very, very dilapidated always. And full of dark rooms. Scary rooms with cobwebs, and she would open the door and she would be terrified because it would be a dark and scary room. So she'd shut the door really quickly, but then she would look outside the window,
And there would be big rodents and horrifyingly scary things outside, and even more terrifying than what was inside. So she felt, you know, as unsafe as she felt in the hotel, she felt much safer in it than out of it.
Got it.
I was always on an upper floor, and she couldn't reach me. She couldn't get to me. I was on the upper floor. She had this dream many, many times. And in the dream, she was terrified. And
and
right
I bet
before,
it was always the same,
she,
right? Was it always
what?
The same?
Yeah, she calls it the hotel dream. And if you were to say to her the hotel dream, she'd know immediately.
Yeah,
Okay, so now in the dream, when in the dream book that I got her, the book said that dreams about places like houses or places are aspects of yourself, and that helped her interpret what she's feeling inside. It's an internal feeling that she has, and her hotel is, you know, it's a way that she internalizes what she's feeling inside. It's an aspect of herself, something that scares herself.
Right.
And so when she was about right before her husband proposed to her, she had the dream again. Her husband was away, and he was at his grandfather's funeral. And she was alone, and she had the dream, and she woke up startled and just sobbed and sobbed. And she prayed at that moment. She prayed to God, and she said, "Heavenly Father, please take this dream away from me. I don't want to have this dream anymore. It scares me, and I don't know exactly what it means, but please, please, take it away from me. I want to feel good about my life and feel good about myself, and I want things to go well in my life. I'm ready for the changes." And she went back to sleep. She sobbed herself to sleep, and she had another dream. And in the next dream, a group of very beautiful, benevolent beings came up to her, and they said, "Jean, we heard your prayer, and we've completely remodeled your hotel.
Cool.
It's brand new. It's brand new. And we can't wait to show you this. Please come and we'll show you. The whole thing is brand new." And she went with them into the hotel, and every room was bright and clean and full of light and beauty. And it was brand new.
Well, what happened, and that's what I call an overnight healing dream that is given by spirit when you ask for it. Beautiful, beautifully done. It's what I preach. You know, you have the nightmare, and it's there's information in there for you. And if you've got that information and you don't need to have the dream again, then, yeah, you can ask for that healing. The recurring dream of childhood is usually about a deeply held unresolved fear, and that she had it again in adulthood, to me, says that there was something left over from that childhood fear that was not quite healed yet. She asked for a healing, and she got it. That's beautiful, and that's a wonderful story to share. The problem with recurring dreams for most people is that they order them to go away. They order them to go away, and they don't want them anymore, and so they don't have it anymore, but they are still not healed because they didn't ask for the healing on top of it. So that's a beautiful
story.
Well,
and you're so right. The beings that came to her and said, "Jean, we've completely rebuilt your hotel."
Yeah. Right.
And it's brand
right.
new.
Exactly.
That was a healing, and she's never had the dream again, and
never
she woke
right.
up feeling
right.
so much better and rejuvenated, and that day her husband proposed to her, and it's like everything was
cool.
better after.
Yeah, yeah. So, again,
you know, I mean, and
it's
I
along
remember when she...
what I keep telling people. No matter what's going on, even if it's the worst nightmare, you know, it's telling you that you need healing inside. And even if you don't understand the dream and don't know what it is you need healing from or of, ask for that healing anyway. Ask for it. Just keep asking for it. So this is a good story for you to share. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Tiana.
Can I talk a little bit about the Japanese? We introduced it at the beginning, and I have a method or a dream program that I can give people. I mean, people's hearts are just broken about what's going on in Japan right now, and people are feeling helpless because, yeah, I can pray for you. What else can I do? I can send a little money. What else can I do? I mean, there's so much scare stories going on in the media, which, by the way, makes it worse. I got a letter from a shaman healer. I belong to a society for shamanic healers, and I got this letter from Sandra Ingerman, who is a very well-known shaman. She wrote the book Soul Retrieval, and what she says, and this is important, our hearts expand as we embrace the enormity of all the pain being suffered. So what she's saying is it's okay to feel that pain because it helps to expand our hearts and makes us even more effective in the work that we do with our prayers and our love. She says, when we feel that our hearts are breaking as we watch levels of suffering, in actuality, our hearts are expanding, allowing us to be stronger and deeper channels of love and light. All of life needs us to be channels of light, love, and spiritual healing. We are one collective. And again, that's Jung's teachings, the collective unconscious. She says that in community, we ask our helping spirits and the helping spirits of Japan to send healing and peace to those in need. Let us experience the vastness of our spiritual light and love and transmitting radiance to Japan. Okay, that's something we're all doing anyway. She says, now, this is important. Move out of a place of pity for the suffering you see. Focus on the strong spirit of the people, all of life, and the land itself. In this way, you project strength, which leads to a foundation of support for all in need. She says, as a collective, we've been feeding the energy of change with how much discussion has been going on about big changes that will occur. We're talking about 2012 here and the new evolution of consciousness. She says, think about how many millions of people have been reading books, listening to lectures, having discussions about the earth changes coming. Reflect on the energies you have been feeding, and she calls these negative. As a collective, we've been feeding negative energies, dissolution, discreation, dismemberment. And this goes for those that are no longer in the media, what's happening in Haiti, New Zealand, the oil spill in the Gulf, the floods in Australia, and all of that. So here's what I propose, okay? This, I'm writing another book right now. It's called Shamanic Dreaming, which is the journey one takes with spirit. You have to take it with spirit. That's the only way to do a shamanic journey. So in this book, I talk about dream helpers and being able to help those in need or even some part of the planet in need, like all the trees that are being destroyed in South America and the earth's waters being so contaminated. Anything that you want to be able to help. There are groups of people, believe it or not, meeting in dream time in what we call the collective unconsciousness, or the collective unconscious, excuse me, or the mass consciousness level of dreaming. People are meeting. They're asking to meet up there. And again, you're closer to source, closer to the higher power in dream time than in anywhere else. So here's what you can do to help. Try it tonight. Before you go to sleep, say, I want to have a dream in which I can see and focus on the strong spirit of the people of Japan and help to emit spiritual light and love and radiance to those people in need. Or any way that you want to put it, any way that you want to put it, tonight in my dream time, I want to join with others of like mind to help those in need. And that is beautiful, and it works.
Yeah, Tiana, We've had some wild experiences. Tiana and I have been part of a group that once a month gets together and meditates for world peace, and we've focused on different things that were going on in the world and with the planet. And it's so amazing to be 25 or 30 people, well, 25 people there. And when we focus on a particular thing to meditate and pray for it, very often half a dozen people will have had almost identical imagery, which mm-hmm. makes me, you know, the first time mm-hmm. I ever experienced that, it was a life-changing experience because I realized it's not just my inner imagination. There's a spiritual realm there that mm-hmm. people can have in common. And that's what you're talking about, that energetic realm where mm-hmm. all the prayers for people go. And mm-hmm. people experience with a common perception. Just, mm-hmm. just totally blowing to me the first time that I realized that.
I have a simple little story that I'd like to share, and maybe some of you have already heard it or read it. It's a little booklet by Ken Keyes. It's called The 100th Monkey. And this was a group of researchers that were, I don't know what kind of research they were doing, but they were researching monkeys on remote islands. And there were a couple of different remote islands, and they were so far apart that the monkeys on each island could not communicate with the monkeys on the other island. There was no verbal way, no visual way. They were so far apart. Well, they were giving these monkeys sweet potatoes to eat, and I guess they were still dirty from coming right out of the earth. And after a time, there was one young monkey who went down to the ocean, and he washed all the dirt off his sweet potato. And what they say, monkey see, monkey do. In time, he did this every day, more and more monkeys began to go down to the ocean and wash those sweet potatoes before they ate them. Well, there came a time of critical mass. And the researchers were, like, blown away. There came a time, and they call it 100 monkeys, but I think that's an arbitrary number. There was a critical mass number of monkeys that went down to the ocean to wash their sweet potatoes. And the next day, the monkeys on the other island began to wash their sweet potatoes.
Amazing, isn't it? I think
that's,
you know, a lot of us
conscious
that 100th concept. But not a lot of us have heard, like, the whole story or where it comes from and that it was a true thing.
So there you go. So it's like when enough people, the main point of this is when enough people of like mind get together with one intention, then thousands of people can be influenced in a positive way by just 100 people. So that's why I propose in the dream state, it's pure, it's clear. In the daytime, maybe you send out a prayer and then you get busy with life, right? In nighttime, you can dedicate a night full of dreaming to Japan and its people. I want to join with others of like mind for whatever we can do, give whatever aid we can. Sending love and loving support is enough. It's enough. And you can ask to do that. For those of you who are trained healers, believe it or not, you can get into Dreamtime, you can get into Japan, and you can help comfort those that are in pain. You can help comfort those that are in need in some way. You can actually go to the spirits of people and help them in some way. If you have a healing skill, you can use it in these kind of dreams.
And that's a beautiful experience.
Well, and you know, you can also access the power of the collective consciousness through prayer.
Yes, of course.
And
Yes, of course.
And so, you know, lest we think that our prayers for Japan and our prayers for our brothers and sisters on this planet, our intentions for healing and our intentions for well-being for all of the beings that live on this planet are absolutely powerful and sincere. And
power of prayer is enormous. People need to know that they are not alone in that. When they send out a prayer and everybody else that is sending out those prayers with that same intention, they are joining in the collective unconscious. They are. And that's true. And what I'm saying is add to it. Dream on it. Make it more powerful.
Yeah, that one of the things the Urantia book says is that when more than one person combines an intention for good, we multiply.
Yeah, and Jesus said that too. When two or more get together in my name. Right?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we have a fellow on our board, listening on our board right now, and Kevin, his name is Kevin Adams. Hey, Kevin. He has been living in Japan, and he just related an experience that was so horrifying to me in an email. And, you know, what it was like to experience that earthquake and that tsunami from up close and personal. I don't know that he didn't experience the full force of the tsunami, but certainly the full force of the earthquake. And the floor that he was, the building that he was in, the first floor was flooded by the tsunami, and people had to come up to higher floors to escape it. It was like a waking nightmare.
Yes.
You wish you could wake up from. You wish it was just a dream, and it wasn't. And he just made a comment on the board that that the people of Japan need prayers, but they need so much more right now. It's true, you know.
Yes, of
they're
course
devastated.
They do.
Yeah, and when people are devastated, when families are lost, you know, it seems like we're overwhelmed. We're all overwhelmed. There's not much we can do to help, but. You know, I think that we're talking about a people that is very resilient, as most humans are, really.
Yeah.
We don't give ourselves nearly enough credit. We can send them every good thing that we have, whether it be material resources to help them rebuild their country, our prayers, our dreams, our hopes.
Right.
Not
just,
only
yeah,
for
right.
Japan.
Yeah, just
Japan.
Know that whatever you do... is helpful in more ways than you can imagine. More ways
right.
than you can
right.
imagine.
And the strength, you know, the connection, that they can make the connections they need to make with their loved ones, that they can know one way or the other if their loved ones are still there or not. You know, it must be torturous not to know
yes.
if your parents are alive or if your children
yeah.
are. You know, it's something I'd never want to experience.
Yeah, there's no
you know?
Getting around it. It's disastrous. It is. So I know we don't have a lot of time
you know,
left, but what I'd like to do is make an offer to your listening audience that that they can go ahead and email me or get on my website, and you know if they have an email and want to question, have a question in an email, or they can get on my website and send me. Message through that. Again, my website address is www.tianagalgano.com, and that's TIANNAGALGANO, tianagalgano.com. I also have another website. It's dreamdecipher.com. Dreamdecipher is spelled DECIPHER, so either way they can get a hold of me. Or they can email me at tianag@msn.com, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that come my way. I'm really, as you said in your email to me, I'm really sincere about this. This is, I want to be of service. I come from my heart with all of this. So that's my offer, okay?
Well, thank you so much. You know, after watching your video, I know you do come from your heart. You really want to help people interpret and find the meaning and heal, help them heal from the
help
hurts
them,
in their life. And, you know, our God knows we all have them. It's a difficult planet. And, you know, after seeing what my own daughter went through with her dreams and with her life, you know, I mean, she was a child. And you know, you end up feeling very powerless sometimes in this world, like there's really nothing you can do. But we're not powerless, and there is help, and help comes in. You know, when you need help, you get it, and you just ask for it, like my dream, like you pointed out. My helper is
for it.
There.
Ask for it.
All I
ask
you would ask, took care of it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, ask for it. Yeah, ask before you go to sleep. I have to leave the audience with this again that I started out in the beginning. You don't have to remember your dreams. If you remember them, you don't have to try and interpret them. I don't care about that. I want you to ask. I want you to go to sleep at night with something on your mind, some specific intention. The problem with going to sleep on your mind without a specific intention, especially if you're stressed, you're going to be throwing all of that, everything you're stressed about, into your dream state, and then your dreams are going to be chaotic. They're going to try to answer all of your concerns at one time, and then they are really hard to figure out. So ask for one specific thing. I actually recommend asking for the same specific thing at least three nights in a row, at least three nights in a row. And again, then wait during the day to see what intuitively will pop in, what intuitively you're led to. So here again, the intuition exercise we did earlier will be very useful for that purpose.
Yes. Beautiful. And, you know, it's just so important because it's not what you dream is not nearly as important as what you ask and how you interpret the wisdom that you get that comes back to you.
How you mine that
for meaning. And that meaning meant for you, you know. I think there might be danger that when this is something you didn't touch on, but I think that our dreams are for us. Our visions are the answers to our prayers. They're answers to our prayers. And where we get into trouble is when we go out and try to tell everybody, I had a dream and it's all pertinent to you. You know? No, probably not.
To hear somebody's dream and then interpret it for them based on your own, you know, your own symbolism. Some people try to do that. Well, let me tell you what that dream means. And here again, you know, you talked about the archetypal way to look at dreams by Jung, and that is good. But those dream dictionaries that are out there, the regular ones, I don't recommend those because they're just random things that whoever invented the book decided meant this and meant that and meant the other thing. In my book, I do have a section in the middle where I say, all right, these are dreams about teeth falling out, but this is what this person got out of it, and this is what that person got out of it, and that's what this person got out of it, and here are some dreams about snakes, and here's what this person got out of that, and so on. So I don't try to tell people that symbols mean something because, like you say, they are personal. And, you know, the book's a good book. I mean, I every time I open it up, I think, wow, you know, because a lot of it was spirit giving me information to put in there. I just have to say, you know, a lot of it was my own research, but some of the things in there, spirit just directly was speaking to me, and it just got in that book, and it's spirit is so wise.
Well, it could be really confusing to just guess at the meaning of your dreams based on dream symbol books, but your process really goes through understanding where spirit is trying to speak to you in your dreams and in the language of symbols give you specific personal guidance for the things in your life, and I love that about it, Tiana.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiana. It's been a pleasure having you on our show today.
Oh, thank you, Paula. I really enjoyed this, and I'm honored by the, you know, by you even asking me to do this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time with us today and sharing with your wisdom and your life's work, your healing work. And believe me, we honor it with all of our heart, and we pray for your success in helping people to understand themselves and understand, you know, their own personal guidance. It's a noble cause and one that we pray for your success in.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. Goodbye.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
And so, dear friends, that was our show for today. I know that you know, the Urantia book warns us to be careful about dream interpretation and not going off on creating some strange new ism. And I hope you understand, and this is our disclaimer, we like to interview a lot of people on this show. We like to do some things that are out of the box, reach out to people who are doing different kinds of work, and look for the goodness in what they're doing and the meaning in what they're doing and the value in what they're doing with their hearts and with the intention of their love and their souls. So, while we may not all agree that dreams have tremendous value, some of us might. And some of my dreams have had tremendous value. And I know Joanne feels the same way. And that's why we wanted to have Tiana on and share her wisdom with you today. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you know that the guests we have on do not necessarily represent the opinions of the show or the Urantia Book Fellowship, our sponsor. I hope you'll join us next week. We have a great couple of shows planned for you with Emergent Christians. And Chrislyn will be back next week. And we'll talk to you again on The Cosmic Citizen. Until then, have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. God bless you. Kevin, God bless you, brother, in Japan. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Japanese people and the American Red Cross. There's lots of ways to make a donation to help Japan rebuild their country. Until next week, this is the Cosmic Citizen, Paula Thompson. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.